The leaders of the world's two biggest economies finally meet face to face. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. It was all smiles for the cameras at a photo call in Bali this morning in front of a row of Chinese and American flags. Presidents Joe Biden and Xi Jinping shook hands for the first time since the U.S. president came to office. Their meeting is happening on the sidelines of the G20 summit on the Indonesian island of Bali. The host country's president, Joko Widodo, told the BBC that rivalry between the two countries have raised tensions in the Asia-Pacific region and that any agreement to cool them would have far-reaching benefits.
Competition and rivalry are actually natural as long as they can be managed properly so they don't cause open conflict. And if there is dialogue, it will also be good for a global recovery, especially an economic recovery. There will be no peace without dialogue.
Well, there's plenty on the agenda for the two leaders to discuss, but President Biden stressed the need for the U.S. and China to avoid conflict, and he said he was committed to keeping the line of communications between the two open. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani has more from Bali.
The tensions between the U.S. and China over the last few years have been very volatile, to say the least. It started with the trade war between the U.S. and China back in 2018 when the former President Donald Trump was in charge and the tariffs that were put in place on Chinese goods. Subsequently, we've had restrictions on access to Chinese tech that have been put in place by the American administration. All of this coming at a time when China is saying, look, we need our companies to grow. They've been hit hard by COVID, and at every corner, they're feeling blocked off by the U.S. I've also read commentary in the Global Times, the unofficial mouthpiece, if you will, of the Chinese Communist Party, where there have been fears expressed that the agenda at the G20 may well be hijacked by the U.S., whereas the Chinese will be very keen, of course, to view things in a multilateral way and ensure that their needs are not forgotten or swept away.
A big reason for that potentially is because of the economic impact that China has been feeling from its very strict zero COVID policy that it's only just now starting to ease up on.
Yeah, and I don't think we should see President Xi Jinping, coming to Indonesia as a sign that we will potentially see further loosening up in China. The zero COVID policy is very much what Chinese officials have said is the way they're going to manage COVID. It's had a huge impact. Expectations for growth this year have been lowered. Key targets have had to be renegotiated. And when you talk to Chinese companies and Chinese businesses, they're really struggling, let alone European businesses and American firms that are there trying to figure out how to manage lockdowns that come out of the blue. And increasingly what we're hearing from foreign companies in China is that the uncertainty that has come into place because of these COVID restrictions has meant that increasingly they're looking elsewhere. They're looking for other markets where they can manufacture their goods. And I think one of the reasons why we've got Xi Jinping out here at the G20 is also an opportunity for China to re-engage with the world and to remind people that, look, hey, we're here. We're the second largest economy in the world. We're open for business. Yes, we've got the zero COVID policy in place, but they want to ensure that the importance of China on the international stage is not forgotten.
The BBC's Karishma Vaswani for us at the G20 summit in Bali. Thanks so much for breaking this down.
Thanks so much, Victoria.
We know that global gas supplies have been disrupted by sanctions imposed by Western nations and their allies in response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Now, to try to help ease some of that strain, Mozambique on Monday began exporting liquefied natural gas, or LNG, for the very first time. The multi-billion-dollar offshore LNG plant is managed by the Italian company Eni. The BBC's Will Ross explains this is a momentous moment for the country.
This is a huge moment for Mozambique. It's been a decade since the Italian company Eni found one of the continent's largest deposits just off the coast. The first loaded tanker is heading north towards Europe, where a new major source of gas is badly needed because of the energy crisis and with winter on the way. Close to some of Mozambique's onshore gas facilities, millions of people are living in extreme poverty. It's one of the factors that's fueled a jihadist insurgency in the north. These new gas exports provide an opportunity to transform the economy, but there's also a risk that it could lead to even greater inequality.
That's the BBC's Will Ross reporting there.
Checking the numbers now, benchmarks across Europe are ticking up in the 0.3% to 0.4% range at this hour. It was a mixed picture in Asia today, though. Hong Kong's Hang Seng closed 1.7% higher after Friday's blockbuster rally. Japan's Nikkei, though, slid 1%. That's after the Bank of Japan governor said the central bank will continue supporting the economy with easy monetary policy until ultra-low inflation there and wage growth are stable. To Sri Lanka now, which is in the throes of one of its worst ever economic crises. Soaring inflation and a weak currency have made it difficult for people to pay for essential imports like food, fuel, and medicine. But the country's president, who's also the finance minister, has presented today a new budget that aims to raise taxes and cut public spending. The BBC's Archana Shukla is in the capital, Colombo, with more.
They are looking at turning Sri Lanka into an export-oriented competitive economy, encouraging private sector enterprises and also creating a conducive environment for more private entrepreneurship to get the youth out and start working and contributing more to the economy, and the economy contributes back to them.
Sri Lanka and the IMF have been in negotiations and talks about a very much needed $3 billion bailout to help the country survive. And it has said that the country must make a number of economic reforms, including higher taxes, lower public spending. What does that mean for the people in Sri Lanka? Are they going to be able to deal with the effects of those kinds of policies?
They've already increased the value-added taxes from 8% to 15%. They've already tinkered with the income tax and reduced the threshold. So more people are in the income tax paying bracket right now. Some more taxes are about to come. Yes, this is certainly going to add burden on the people. We were talking to a housewife and she told me that they've stopped eating things like fish and eggs because they've become exceptionally expensive.
Since the flour is expensive, we hardly eat bread, and we use rice.
A lot of families around Sri Lanka are kind of skipping part of their meals or are reducing their meal sizes because food inflation is at the highest.
So we hear how difficult it is for people trying to just make ends meet. What is the government doing to support people?
At the moment, the World Bank, the Asian Development Bank, UNICEF, United Nations, they're all sending in aid, especially to feed the people. We're expecting that the budget will have a proper welfare program where they would talk about cash handouts. That's the expectation from some of the NGOs and the analysts as well. But we need to wait to hear that.
The BBC's Archana Shukla for us in Colombo. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Victoria.
Well, as always, you can find more on that story. Just head to our website, bbc.com/news. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.